Praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see y'all this evening. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful day. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Go ahead and open up our service with prayers we always like to do, and just continue to keep each situation in your prayer. Those that have come over the text blast, those that are on the Facebook and all the other ways that we're finding out, plus in our prayer box too. Just keep in mind each and every one. If you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. Praise God. Oh, goodness. Yes. Brother Rowdy, would you lead us in opening prayer, please? Yes, sir.
Glory.
Amen. Praise God. He is an on-time God. Amen.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. You know, as we come together and we open service and we have the praise reports, we have prayer and intro songs and all this type of stuff, but I don't know about y'all, but it's hard to keep from getting excited. When you come into the house of the Lord, when you realize what He's doing in so many places and so many situations, and I know me personally and my family, I see all the folks up in the choir this evening. No, they're already fired up, ready to go. So let's just all just turn it over to the Lord this service tonight. And let's just have that little excitement, that joy, and that only the Lord can give us. Praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. Praise God.
Thank you.
put excitement in your heart and in your life. As they say many, many times, you need to wake up and just turn it over to the Lord. Just praise God. Praise God. So glad again that everyone's here. You joining in on live feed this evening or even at a later date. If you have a prayer request, just go ahead and type it in the comment section and we'll definitely pray with you. Just praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Just really excited about what the Lord's doing. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. I know you're coming. Just going to ask you, why don't you go ahead and pray for us too, Brother Luke? We appreciate it. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You bought my freedom. glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah. Oh, the cross. And by your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, but now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah for the cross.
Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah for the cross.
Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need. My one defense, my righteous rest. Oh God, how I need you.
Your sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Yes,
and I are going to try a new song. He came in there the other day and he said, actually, I have a sing that I'm going to participate in next month, and I'll remind y'all so y'all can come. But I told him, I said, I need a couple songs that I want you to play for me when I do the sing as well. So he came to me, said, Mom, he actually posted this on his Facebook. He never left me. So I want to try and sing it tonight.
So many directions, the roads look the same. My Lord, He gave me instructions, I disregarded in shame. Then sudden destruction, well, it soon came my way. All I have to say, I've got me to blame. He never left me. Though I turned my back on Him, living in a world of sin, trying to run away again, He never left chose to walk away, even when I couldn't pray, He never left me. But I chose the wrong road, 'cause it looked good to me. I walked blindly onward, I just could not see. I was lost and I was dying. out to Jesus, and Jesus reached out to me. He never left me. Though I turned my back on Him, living in a world of sin, trying to run away again, He never left me. When I chose to walk away, even when I couldn't pray, thankful.
Can you come help me? Keith, you want to help us sing Mercy Walked In? Praise the Lord for His mercy. Now worship as we sing Mercy Walked In.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what? No defense, but that's where mercy walked in.
Mercy walked in
and pleaded my case. What was presented that covered my sin, forgiven
when mercy walked in.
How could this be? That someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again. Case and called to the
stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
How many is thankful for mercy?
Amen.
Certain. Where would we be today if it had not been for the mercy, the love, amen, and the amazing grace of Almighty God? Amen. Got any blessed folks in the house tonight? Are you blessed beyond measure? Praise God. Well, it's good to be here with you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We appreciate His many, many blessings. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go for a little while to the book of 1 Corinthians. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Amen. Beginning with the 55th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 55. When you get there, say praise the Lord. Paul's writing says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how we love you and thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray the anointing spirit, God, would just rest upon this congregation. Lord, I pray for the anointing power. Lord, reach down, God, and touch us, Lord, from on high. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel, God, to speak to our hearts tonight, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, we thank you for the many miracles that you've already done in our lives. God, for the healings, for the deliverances, God. And I pray tonight that you would continue to touch and minister to those who stand in need of prayer. There's still many sick and many afflicted. God, we know that your great power is overwhelming, God, to, Lord, to any disease and any sickness. And I pray right now, God, that you would reach out to those in need right now, asking these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. Tonight, I would like to read a little, if I could, if you'll bear with me. Subject matter says, victory at the cross. Victory at the cross. Turn to your neighbor and say, we've got the victory. Now say it like you mean it. We've got the victory. Are you thankful for the victory? Amen. We're on the winning side, folks. Hey, no matter how bad it seems and how bad it looks, we are victorious through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in many occasions of the great victories that have been recorded in the Bible. The Old Testament especially is full of victories after victories. God destroyed Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. What a mighty miracle that was. Amen. Just after the freedom of the children of Israel, after 400 and something years of bondage, and now they're on their way to the promised land, and they're met with these odds, the Red Sea on one side, the mountains surrounding them, and here comes Pharaoh and his army bearing down upon them. But how many know that victory, amen, was won through the power of Almighty God? You know, God doesn't always need our help, but he does need our faith, amen, to believe that God will make a way. we find that an inexperienced and ill-equipped army of Israelites won battle after battle in the wilderness journey. You remember the battle that they were fighting, and Moses' hands were raised, and as long as his hands were raised in victory, man, the Israelites were prevailing. But Moses grew weary, and he grew tired, and his hands began to slip. And Aaron on one side and Hur on the other stayed up his arms, amen, and the battle was won by the children of Israel through the power of God. Another great victory. We all remember the story of Joshua, the mighty walls of Jericho that were impenetrable, that were so thick and so high that no ordinary army could get through. But God had told Joshua with the visitation of an angel, said, "See this city, it's yours." Amen. Jericho is going to fall. And there was a great and wonderful victory fought, amen, before Joshua and even the Israelites could enter into the city. God let the walls of Jericho fall flat. We read of Saul and David's conquests over Philistines time and time again, not discounting the story of David as he slew the giant Goliath as well. We also read of Samson's great strength and exploits. They were amazing to know that God prevailed through just a common, ordinary person. And Gideon's little army of 300 men were victorious without throwing a spear or shooting a bow because of the power of God. And to bring it a little bit to more of a modern day, let's not forget the six-day war between Israel in Egypt. I don't know if some of you are very young and maybe don't even remember that, but there were actual stories, man, of the Egyptian army seeing these great lights around them, and God was on the side of Israel then, and it was a six-day war, and they were victorious. Can I remind us today that we'd better support Israel and be allied with Israel on a continual basis? All of these great victories by the hand of God. But in my opinion, there was one victory that was greater than all of those miracles. I would even venture to say greater than all of those miracles combined. And they were great miracles. I remember the stories as a young boy. My granny would read me the Bible stories of all of these wonderful victories and how that God came on the scene. And it made me think, you know what? As long as we're on God's side. Come on, somebody. As long as we're on God's side. The battle may look hard. It may look like we're overmatched. It may look like we're going to lose. But as long as we're on the side of God, we will always be victorious. But there's one battle that I believe that supersedes all of those other battles. In my opinion, none can compare to the greatest victory at the cross. I spent a lot of time this week studying about the crucifixion, what Jesus went through. Even so much that some say, according to our calendar, the crucifixion happened on a Friday in April, according to some theologians. Others say it lasted from the third hour to the ninth hour, that being in our time from around 9 a.m. in the morning until 3 p.m. that afternoon, at which time that was 6 hours had passed. Now, this battle was not fought with armies or with generals, but it was fought by a single individual who carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. Tonight, I would like for us somehow, and we're saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord on this group here tonight. I would imagine that I'd venture to say if the Lord split the eastern sky, there wouldn't be one of us left behind. And I hope that I'm right in that. If you're worried about being left behind, I wouldn't leave tonight until I got ready. But this is a core group that's here tonight, and I want us to get a mental picture. So many times we see an artist imagination of a portrait or a painting, and we look at Jesus hanging there, and we feel a little grief, and we feel a little sorrow, and we see a few drops of blood that maybe have been depicted on that painting or in that photograph. And many, many times we don't really fully realize the intense pain and torture that Jesus Christ went through
as he was crucified on the cross. His preparation for this battle was not a boot camp. It was not years and years of experience in an army. It was not even with the advice and the preparation of anyone else other than his father. His preparation consisted of an all-night prayer vigil. And I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity for God to lay a prayer or something on your heart so burdensome that you spent most of the night, in fact, if not all the night, praying for God to move and intercede. I remember praying in a little waiting room at Eggleston Hospital when Penny was still in the hospital in Villarica, and we were carried over there. Kevin was carried in what they call Angel One. It was a fully equipped ambulance that was equipped by Grady, and they came to Villarica and took him over to Eggleston Hospital. And it was on up in after midnight, and there is something especially lonesome and almost a little eerie after the midnight hour if you're ever up and in a hospital, if you've ever waited on somebody or set up with somebody. And there's almost an uneasiness a little bit. And I remember praying, and, you know, they didn't have, this is way back, 1978, by the way, and they didn't have the really comfortable chairs and lounges and couches and things. It was, I remember, a Coke box, and I remember some straight back chairs there. And I was there praying and praying and praying. And I remember hearing down the hall a wailing. And I wasn't certain if that was Kevin or not, because I was not allowed to be ushered in where they took Kevin. They took him on back. And I was praying. And in my mind, I thought that might be Kevin crying. And I was praying and praying and praying. And it's amazing how intense your prayer can get when there is a real need in your life. Amen. And, again, we prayed and asked God to intervene, and God took care of him. And it was a long battle. But my point is, if you really get serious enough, amen, you don't think about the time. You don't think about the clock. You just think about the need, and you can really get in touch with God on those types of prayers. On a lighter note, I remember when I was in high school, and there was a particular test that I needed to make good on, if you know what I'm talking about. Some of those tests would carry so much of your average for the 6 weeks, or not, actually it was 9 weeks then. And I needed to make I needed more than a 70. Most of my time I got through school with just a 70. Anything over 70 to me was wasted. You didn't need it. As long as I get a 70 and get out of there, I was happy with that. But I needed a good test score on this. And I had studied, you know. I was not one of those kinds say, Lord, I don't have to study. I'm just going to depend on you. And, I believe you have to work too. And I was preparing as best as I possibly could. But it was a serious time. And I had prayed before and asked God to help me on tests and all. But this was real serious, Brother Jim. I prayed. And, you know, we lived right across the road from the high school. And I could see the high school over there. And there was a light on. And I just assumed that maybe the custodian had left a light on there. And I was praying and I was asking God, Lord, you know, it's amazing how much we explain to God how we need something. It's not like I didn't think God didn't know about that test. And he probably was trying to tell me, if you'd done better through the 9 weeks, you wouldn't have to be so dependent on this test. But you know how we are as Christians sometimes. We wait till the last minute, and then we cram. But I was conveying unto God, Lord, I really need a good test score. I need to pass this thing. And I was praying, and I was asking God, and I was laying in my bed just as serious praying. First of all, God said, don't it mean enough that you can actually get out of the bed and get on your knees and begin to pray? So I did. And I was praying, and it was almost like God spoke to me, and he said, if you really want to pass this test, are you willing to pray until that light goes off in the school? And I said, God, you know that light could stay on all night. But he said, are you willing to pray? I got serious. And I said, you know what, Lord? It means that much. I'll pray. If I have to set up all night long, I'll pray until that light goes off. Man, I got in some earnest prayer. I was praying. I mean, I what sweat wasn't dropping off of me, but I was really praying. I was sincere. I thought maybe this is about the best two-hour prayer that I've ever prayed. I looked, and it had only been about 10 or 15 minutes of intense prayer. And I peeped across out the window to look and see if the light was still on, and it was shining bright. And I began to pray, and I began to pray, and I began to pray. And I would peep and see if the light was still on. But after a while, I really quit praying about the test, and I just started worshiping God. I was a teenager, but I felt the presence of God in my room, and I got really involved in that prayer, and I was praying about everything, and I was feeling good about the preparation, feeling good about the test score, and I was praying. I got so caught up in the prayer, and finally I sort of got come back to myself, and I looked over there, and the light was out. Evidently, the custodian come back, and either an angel turned the light out. But my point is, are we willing to pray? Christ prayed all night long in preparation for the greatest battle of his life that he knew he was going to have to face. He could have told or could have had the angels from heaven to come down and help him. He had the power. He could have called the heaven's angels down, and they would have had to obey his voice. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He had the power to speak death to his oppressors. You remember how they laughed at him and they ridiculed him and they plucked his beard and they spat on him and even one of the Roman soldiers pierced his side, and Jesus had the power and the authority to pronounce death and speak death on them, but he did not. In fact, later on from the cross, he simply said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And on that morning, a lone figure carried his cross up the hill of Golgotha to a place where he knew that he would have to die on the cross of Calvary. Beaten and bloody, almost beyond recognition, did not look like a soldier, did not look like a conquering hero. In fact, probably to many, didn't look like the Messiah or the great Redeemer. Looked like an ordinary criminal on his way to judgment. Then the Bible tells us he was nailed to a cross, ridiculed and scorned. And it seemed to all those there in the company that defeat was inevitable. I've heard stories and I've read stories about people in battles. And one of the most terrible things that can happen to an army or to a group of people that are in battle is to become discouraged and become defeated, amen, and give up. And that has happened many, many times. It seems like the odds are against them. It seems like they could never, ever pull this battle out. In World War I, there was such an incident that happened. History tells us that on one side of the battlefield, the Germans were entrenched. And every once in a while, they would fire toward the Allied forces. On this side of the battlefield, which were entrenched. Many times, one of the soldiers might peep his head up and be caught by a sniper and killed. They were huddled there, the Allied forces was, pinned down. Story has it that some of them were ready to give up and ready to surrender. And while they were contemplating surrender, one lone soldier climbed up the ladders. If you know how it was, the trenches then, they had these ladders. And he began to go forward and yelling and screaming with his rifle, and because he wanted victory, he began to shout, "We're going to be victorious. We're going to be victorious." And all of the other Allied soldiers and the Americans began to look to one another, and it got them excited, and they crawled out, and they were able to overtake the enemy in the trench simply because one soldier stood up and said, "I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to give up. The odds don't look good. Looks like we're outnumbered. Looks like we could never win. But I'm going to go down swinging. We're going to be victorious." And they were able to overrun the enemy because of one lone soldier. It seemed defeat was inevitable. I would imagine that some of Christ's closest followers looked and said, "Is this truly the Son of God? Is this really the Messiah? Able to be beaten and to be bruised and have to carry his own cross? Why is it if it was God's Son, wouldn't he call down angels from heaven? Wouldn't he rebuke them? Wouldn't he do something? But just like a sheep for the slaughter, Jesus didn't say a word. Many there in the audience probably began to doubt him. We understand that even Satan was celebrating victory. We know that sometimes you celebrate victory too quick. We see that in the opposing team. Sometimes they sit back. They think they got things wrapped up. They think they got it won. But all of a sudden something is lit in the opponent. And they come back to win the battle because the other team was celebrating too early. Probably some of the Roman soldiers were celebrating as well, knowing they thought of Jesus as a rebel. They thought of Jesus as somebody who was stirring up trouble, and never once did they think that he was the true Son of God and the Messiah. And as I said, all of hell was celebrating. And then around the ninth hour, Jesus stated, "It is finished. It is finished." Misconstrued by many, misunderstood by most of those who hated him, celebrated by some who wanted him dead anyway, the Jewish hierarchy. He was a pain to them. And when they said, "It is finished," they said, "We're through with him. We don't have to worry about him anymore." Even he himself has confessed that it is finished. But "it is finished" didn't mean that he had lost the battle. "It is finished" didn't mean that the world had won over him. When he said "it is finished," it meant that his mission on earth was completed. The battle turned. Amen. Things began to happen when Jesus said "it is finished." I want you to know and understand, Jesus did not die on the cross of Calvary. His body died, but his spirit was set free. He was victorious. After he said, "It is finished," amen, it was just the beginning for humanity. When he said, "It is finished," it gave me hope. It gave me a chance. It gave me the realization that because he had completed his mission, his spirit now can dwell within this tabernacle. Because he said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, he made it possible for everyone here under the sound of my voice tonight to be free from sin, to be set free, to be filled with the Spirit of God, and to be on our way to heaven. Jesus won the battle and the victory at the cross. Thank God for that. Not defeated, but his mission was completed. When the flesh died, the spirit was set free. Paul wrote again in verse 57 and 58. And before I read these again, I want us to get that mental picture of the gruesome and horrible crucifixion that Christ suffered, not because he was guilty, not because he deserved it, but because he loved us so much that he allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to scorn him, to ridicule him, and to nail him to the cross of Calvary, because it was God's plan for the redemption of mankind. And I don't think we ever, ever, ever need to take that victory lightly. Just as we celebrate the victories of this great nation, and there are many, as we remember and write and read about the miracles and the victories that are written in the Bible, let us never, ever forget the victory that was won on that old hill of Golgotha, on that crucifixion, on that cross, that Jesus Christ came victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 57 again, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Folks, we need to accept the victory. We need to be thankful for the victory. We need to live a victorious life. We don't need to be downtrodden. We don't need to be upset about things that are happening in the world, because we have victory. And my victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And wait till you see what He has prepared for those that love Him. We don't have any idea. We cannot even fathom the greatness and the wonderful place that Jesus Christ has prepared for us, let alone the glorified body. We have had an unfortunate occasion here to be at many funerals lately. A lot of people are passing away. But one thing about those who knew the Lord and had accepted Jesus Christ and had experienced the victory that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross, the funeral, rather than being so sad, it seems like a time of joy and expectation of what we're going to receive when we get over there. I've often said at funerals, several years ago, the Lord just kind of revealed to me that death is nothing more than the first day of eternity. And when you're born again, that's going to be the first day of celebration forever and ever and ever. Let us never forget the price that was paid for our victory. I want to be just as patriotic as I possibly can, and I want to celebrate the life that we live. Men and women have died, given their life so that we can enjoy this freedom. Amen. And you ought to give the Lord praise for that right now. You ought to thank every soldier, every person in the military who has ever given their time, or their limbs, or their life. But as we remember those, let us also remember the great price that Jesus paid and what He gave His life so that you and I could be free. So He says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved, that's the church, He's reminding us, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. He reminds us of the great price that Christ paid. He reminds us of the mission that Jesus did here on this earth. Just 33 and a half years, just a young man. His ministry was very short. Look what he was able to accomplish. But understand, as much as he did, as many folks as he healed, as many lives as he changed more in his crucifixion as he came down off of that cross victorious. All of the celebration, all of the devils, the demons, congratulating, we're through with him. 3 days was all that celebration lasted. After the third day, how many knows, he arose. He came forth out of the tomb victorious again over death, hell, and the grave. He's alive and well today. I serve a risen Savior. How about you? I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a risen Savior. But he left instructions, as the Apostle Paul wrote. Be, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Steadfast, dutifully firm. Dutifully. It is our duty to stand firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unwavering. Folks, the world may waver. The world may come and go with all of its fads and all of its different things, but the church needs to remain true, built on the solid, firm foundation, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. We don't need to waver from that. Amen. We need to be steadfast. Steadfast. Amen. Believing the Word of God, living a life that's pleasing unto Him. Unmovable. Stationary, steady, and fixed. Amen. I like that word fixed. My heart is fixed. How about you? Whatever comes or goes, my heart is fixed. I know, amen, where my home is. And I know where my reward is. And it's not because of anything that I did. It's because of everything that He did for me on the cross of Calvary. And finally, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always exceeding over and above. Because that's what Jesus did. He went over and above. Oh, the flesh tried to persuade the Heavenly Father. If it be thy will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Let me not have to face death. But what did he finally say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As we live in victory, as we enjoy and celebrate the life of a Christian, sold out to God, amen, living a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, but thank God for the Word of God that we're supposed to adhere to and follow, amen, and exemplify the statutes and the precepts that are written in the Word of God. And as we celebrate that glorious victory on that day that Jesus Christ made it possible for you and I to have His Spirit dwelling within us. You know, He didn't leave the apostles comfortless, and He told them all along, I go away, but I'm going to send the Comforter. How many is thankful for the Comforter? How many is totally dependent on the Comforter? I need the Comforter every day of my life. So folks, brothers and sisters in Christ, remind ourselves how victorious that we are, and remind ourselves where that victory came from, and it came from Jesus Christ. Sister Jennifer, would you and the music come? We're going to sing one of our favorite songs, and we're going to pep it up a little. Victory in Jesus. Like she was playing it before church. Would you stay in church? And I want you to sing this song like you have got victory in your life. Amen. Has anybody in the church got victory tonight? Praise. Come on, give Him praise. Glory to God. Now, this is one of those songs you can clap your hands, you can stomp your feet, whatever you want to do, just praise the Lord. Amen. As we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, then He bought me with His redeeming blood. All my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flow. I want us to think about these words as we sing it. Amen. Whoever wrote that song, they knew what victory was. They knew the price that Christ paid. Church, let us never forget what Jesus done. Let's do the second one. Well, I heard about His healing, how His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me. All my love. awaits us in heaven. Yeah, that third verse. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Oh, about the angels singing that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song. Come on, church, let me hear you sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming power. Victory beneath the cleansing flood. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, if it's been a while since you experienced that victory, why don't you come down and renew your walk with the Lord? If you have a need tonight, why don't you bring it to the altar? If you're tired of being tired, why don't you come to the altar? If you have a burden, if Satan is warring against you in any way, why don't you come and give it to the Lord? Because we got victory, church. Hallelujah. We got victory. We need to live it. We need to act like we got victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me.
The battle's not mine, said little baby. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I've given it all to you. I knew not what to do, and I'm so glad you've let me see. You're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine, I give it. David, oh so small, Goliath, oh so tall, odds were just too high, poor little David. So he shook off all of his load, for with the power of God he was clothed. He said, the battle's not mine, I give it to you.
Belongs to God. Amen. Tell somebody, I got victory. I got victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you so very much. Have a wonderful evening. Continue to pray and help us pray for those, amen, are still battling sickness and affliction. And I know it's got to be discouraging for some folks, maybe that not able to get out and be where they want to be. So let's just pray that God would continue to bless them, anoint them, and heal them. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Amen. We're going to believe. He's already over, I guess, everybody's expectations. He's already done over that. Amen. There's a lot of people that would have given up a long time ago. God's going to honor his faith, and it's just a little setback. Satan likes to set people back. Amen. Especially when we step out on faith. Amen.
Amen.
God honors, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I serve a God who allowed a young lady's foot to grow overnight. She came to youth camp down in Barnesville, Georgia, and she would wear these flats, and she would stuff cotton in one of the flats of her shoes so that it wouldn't fall off her foot. And she came up for prayer that night, and God didn't do it like that. But the next morning, she couldn't get her shoe on.
Amen.
She got the one on, but she couldn't get the other one on. There was something in the way. She had to pull the cotton out because her foot had grown to the same size of the other one. Oh, or not. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. He's still able. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's still able.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise his holy name.
Yes.
God is able.
Amen.
Amen. Always. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Such a wonderful day God's allowed us all to share together in his house today. Yes, love each and every one of you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support of all the things going forward. And again, I just pray that everyone just has a wonderful week.
Yes.
And each of you invited back Wednesday night. Those watching online, we miss you. Come on in. We'd love to have you. And before we say a prayer dismissal, anyone else need prayer or anything? This altar is still open. Yes, young man. Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, I love the Lord. Love those testimonies. And you know, God will. And He can, and He will. Amen. Amen. Our most precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we prepare to close, Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. We thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, dear Lord, for Your love for each and every one of us. Lord, we now thank You for the healings. Dear Lord, those seen and unseen, dear Lord, our faith is in You. Our hope is in You, my Lord. We thank You, dear Lord, for answering so many prayers, dear Lord, for lifting anxiety, dear Lord. We ask You to be with those that have lost their loved ones, for strengthening them and guidance. Dear Lord, we know that in these procedures, dear Lord, that You are healing now. And, dear Lord, You're touching. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, we ask You to keep each and every individual here, each and every family that's represented here, safe and strong, dear Lord. Bring us back at our appointed time, but, dear Lord, may we be Your vessel. Lord, may we be who You can use, dear Lord, Your children. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. 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 Praise God, praise God.